this yesterday, but didn't wake me up again until this morning to do this. And I want to know, have you ever faced a situation in your life where it seemed like there was no hope or no way out? We say that those situations are dead to us. Amen? Because there's no hope and there's no way out. I don't know about you, but I've been in those places before. But I'm glad to know today that there's somebody who was able to take me out of those dead places, who's able to take me away from those dead things and make them live again. I'm reminded of how Sarah was dead in her 90s, and God made that womb alive. I remember how Abraham was 100 years old, and God made him alive to be able to be a father to a child. Amen? I'm reminded in 2 Kings 4, 1 and 8, where the widow had nothing. Her husband died. She was in debt. And the person that she was in debt to was coming to take her boys and sell them as slaves to pay off that debt. So she went to the prophet. She went to the man of God and cried out to him. And he said, "What do you got?" She said, "I got a little bottle of oil." He said, "Go get all of the bottles, get all the vessels that you can, and fill it with oil." So I imagine the woman went to all her friends. And you know, when you're in debt and you ain't got no money, you don't have a lot of friends. I imagine she went to her neighbors. I can see her neighbors looking out the window saying, "It's her. Don't open the door." I can imagine her going to her family saying, "I need all the vessels you got." And you know, those very same people, those F people, the friends and the family, they're gone when you need them. But the prophet said to her, "Get every vessel that you can and fill it with oil." So she got every vessel that she could and filled it with oil. Now, the Bible said she only had a little bottle of oil. So how does she keep filling this vessel, these vessels with oil? I don't know. But I do know. But she kept filling the vessels with oil. And then she would sell the oil that she would put in a vessel. And the prophet told her, you sell it, and you're going to make enough to get out of debt. But not only are you going to make enough to get out of debt, you're going to get enough to live the rest of your life. There's something about that story I want you to realize. She didn't say, "All I have is a little bottle of oil." She went and got the vessels that she was instructed to do. That's all she did. She just went and got the vessels that she was told to do. If there was those family and friends that shut her down and denied her, the Bible doesn't say anything about her complaining about that. Knowing that she was human, I believe that in her mind and in her heart and her spirit, maybe somewhere there was a little bit of doubt. There was some frustration. There's frustration when we go to the people that we know when we're in need and they deny us. Somebody say amen. She did anyway. She was persistent. The widow was not only delivered from her problem, but she got an oil treasure. And she got all of this because she sought deliverance from the Lord. Amen? When the when the prophet told her to go get the vessels, he didn't say go to collect them and take them to the store for 5 cents. You see, the obvious, like we go and we do things for the obvious. Those bottles that she got, those vessels that she got, she didn't sell those empty. She sold them full, because my God is a God that fills our cups up over and over again. Amen? She went to a prophet. She didn't turn to friends, family, and neighbors for deliverance. She didn't even turn to them with her problem. She turned to the man of God. Amen? Could it be we're turning to the wrong people when we have problems? Could we be looking for answers in all the wrong places? But I want you to know this morning that God took a dead situation and made it alive. So I'm here today, and I want you to grasp the text of this message, which is, speak to your dead situations. Everybody in here today got some dead situations in their life. And I'm here this morning to tell you to speak to those dead situations, because God is going to make those situations come alive. The prophet wrote it this way: the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and sat me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, there were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We can all recognize and identify with Ezekiel, but there's something that he said when he started. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. I want you to know this morning that the hand of the Lord is upon you. You don't want the devil touching you, but you need the hand of the Lord upon you. Amen? And it said, and he brought him out in the spirit of the Lord. So not only was the hand of the Lord upon him, but the spirit brought him out. You had the hand of the Lord, and then you had the spirit upon him. It said, and sent him down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon him. That means that Ezekiel was in the will of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon him. It meant that he was under the submission of God. The hand of the Lord was upon them. That means that when he went down, he went in obedience. He went receptive. And he went ready to hear what the Lord had to say to him. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, are you obedient? Are you receptive? Are you ready to obey what God is telling you to do? Amen? And then the scripture said, and he was brought out in the spirit, and the Lord set him down in the midst of the valley. Now, we have all been in situations as Christians where we are in Jesus Christ, and we have this relationship with him, and the Lord takes us out and sends us in the midst of some dry bones. And we say, Lord, how could you do this to me? Lord, I'm not going. It don't look good. But the scripture said, he sent me out in the midst, in the open. He said in the open there was a lot of dry bones. It didn't say that he didn't go. He went. He said the hand sat him down in the midst. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, he sits you down, he picks you up. Everybody's ready for the Lord to pick you up. But how about when he's ready to sit you down? We like it when he sits us down. We like to say, oh, it must not be the Lord. It must be the enemy. It must be the devil. No. The Lord will put his hand upon you and sit you down. God allows circumstances and experiences to come about that place us in that valley experience. But you see, when we're in that valley of those experiences, we got to sit down and we have to contemplate and think about some things. Because you can't go nowhere. That's why he set you down, because there's something that you need to think about. Something that you need to contemplate. Something is going on with you, and God is saying, sit down here, my friend, until you understand what I want. Ezekiel was sat down where God wanted him to sit. Somebody here this morning is sitting in a place where God wants you to sit. And you don't like it. And you're blaming everything under the sun. Family, friends, neighbors. But you haven't turned around and looked in that mirror and blamed yourself. But God has sat you down. Turn to somebody and say, is he talking about you? And just as Ezekiel, he has caused us to roam about them. When we roam, we visit those situations, those dead and dry situations in our life. I'm talking about those physical situations. I'm talking about those mental situations. I'm talking about those emotional situations. Because Ezekiel was sitting there, he said, he caused me to pass all about them, and there were many. So take your dry bones in this scripture and make them your dead situations in your life. And God has set you down to make you think about all of the dry bones and dead situations in your life. And as you continue to call out to people to help you, listen to what God told Ezekiel. He said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones come alive? He didn't say, I can do this. We know what God can do. But God questioned him in the midst of those dry bones. God is questioning you in the midst of your dead and dry situations. And he's saying, can they come alive? You have given up on them. You've tossed them aside. And that's not what God wanted you to do. But you did it. So he took his hand and put it on you and sat you down. And now he's saying to you, can they come alive? Ezekiel didn't limit God in his answer. He said, Lord, only you know. That's a great answer. He said, Lord, you know. But when God says to you, can these things come alive? You say, I'm done with it. It's over. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Because you have answered and you have limited God. You said, no, I didn't, Pastor. Yes, you did with your words. Yes, you did with your deeds. Yes, you did with your attitude. Yes, you did with your actions. Ezekiel sat there and he said, Lord, only you know. I want to know what's dry and what's dead in your life today. God told him to prophesy to these dead bones, to these dry bones, and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You see, God didn't tell those dry bones anything. He told Ezekiel, you prophesy. You tell them dead bones, them dry bones, to get up. Tell them to hear the word of the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord. We're waiting for God to do something miraculous in our lives. And he said, you better prophesy over the dead things going on in your life. You need to let them hear the word of the Lord. Because God knows, we know that he can bring anything dead back to life. But I want to remind you that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, before he left, he said, greater things. You're waiting for God. But Jesus said, greater things. Do you know you have the power in your tongue? Greater things. Greater things. Things. You're sitting in the middle of the dead. You're sitting in the middle of the dry bones. You give God his glory and say, God, you know. And God is saying, prophesy over those dead, dry things in your life. And how do you do that? You tell them the word of the Lord. Somebody's in here this morning. Somebody needed to hear this. So I want to know, what is dry and dead in your life today? Do you feel like your career is dead? Prophesy to it today. You can tell that career, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Hallelujah. I want to know, is your life dead? Oh, you're giving up on life because you think that you got nothing else to live for. Prophesy all over your life. Say, God is good and his mercy endures forever. I want to know, are your friendships dead? Prophesy over your friendships with the word of the Lord. Because if they understand the word of the Lord, I want them to be my friends. If they don't understand the word of the Lord, they don't need to be my friend. Because those friends, that's exactly who the enemy uses. Woo! I want to know, is your ministry dead? You got a ministry that God has given you. You're gifted, you're talented. You can sing, you can dance, you can play the instrument, you can speak, you can preach, you can witness. And God has given you that ministry. Is it dead? Maybe it's dead because you're not following the ministry that God has ordained you to do. I said Ezekiel was obedient. We got to be obedient to the word. Oh, hallelujah. I want to know, are you like Israel? Is your hope gone? Is your hope dead? Is everything about you gone and dead? And you're coming in here expecting. You're coming in here expecting pastor who ain't God, he ain't Jesus. He's just a man. You're expecting first lady. You're expecting the ministers, the prayer warriors, and everybody to prophesy over your life and lift you up to the throne of grace. But the scripture said, God told Ezekiel to prophesy to those dry and those dead things. I'm here this morning to say to you, God is telling you to prophesy over your own life. The words and the power, life and death, lies in your tongue. Don't listen to my tongue. My tongue has nothing to do with prophesying over your life. You don't have to live up to the prophecy of what my tongue is going to tell you. Because my tongue sometimes is not pastor. Just saying amen for. Sometimes my tongue is not pastor, but it can go somewhere else. Amen? But God never changes. He never goes anywhere else. He's always right there. I know that I got a God that's on it. And there is sometimes that he has to put his hands on me and sit me down in the middle of dry bones and dead places in my life and say, prophesy over those things. You want your sons and your daughters here, prophesy in the name of Jesus. Don't say, will you come? Say, I know you're going to be coming. I don't know when, but you're coming to church. Prophesy over your children. You could be a little bad one right now, doing things you know that you're not supposed to. But I claim the blood of Jesus Christ over your life, that you will get yourself together and you'll start to understand that all of these things that you're doing are not cute. And those friends aren't your friends. And you need to do better because you know better. Prophesy over your relationships and your marriage. Tell that husband or that wife, I'm praying for you. Every time they get you upset and they want to put your mind in the pits of hell, say, I'm praying for your heart right now. Saying, you know, son, you keep me on my knees. You just keep me there. My knees are so sore. Can you oil them for me? Because you keep working and working and working. Don't ever stop. But prophesy over your life. You know what? In the midst of their trouble, they're going to remember there's somewhere that they can go. There's somebody who loves them still. Somebody who loves them anyway. A lot of people don't want to come to church because they think that we don't love them. We went up and down the block and we talked to anybody and everybody. Whether you look good or you look bad, you smell good or you smell bad. Because I wasn't there to judge. I was there to offer a track and some prayer. Those little life books, we must have gave out about 200 of them yesterday in the course of one afternoon. That means 200 people can never say to the Lord on that day that they die that nobody never mentioned Christ to them. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have them on my back no longer. I'm not responsible for the decisions that they have to make. I want you to know that you are responsible for everybody that you know. That's why you need to pray for them. You need to prophesy over their life, that they will just heed the word of God. instead of laughing at you, laugh with you. Oh, somebody say hello. Do you know what God told Ezekiel to do? He said, examine your faith. He said, examine, Ezekiel. Do you think that these dry bones can come alive? God is saying to you, whatever your situation is, examine your faith. Do you believe that those things can turn around? Come on, somebody. Do you believe that they can turn around? Do you believe that you're an overcomer? Do you believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? He said, Ezekiel, you think that they can come alive? God asks us questions to see where we're at. We always want answers. We don't like to answer questions. We don't like to be questioned. But God questioned Ezekiel. He says, what do you think? God is saying to somebody today, but what do you think? You're praying to him. But what do you think? You're in a pickle right now. Something's going on. And you're calling on God. And he's on his throne. He's saying, well, what do you think? What do you think about your situation? What do you think is going to happen? How do you want it to happen? What are you calling on me for? What do you think? He said, Ezekiel, I know down there they're calling you a man of God. But man of God, what do you think? What do you think? I'm here to tell you, because you don't have faith, you don't have an abundant life. I said, because you don't have the faith, you don't have an abundant life. But if you have faith, you can have an abundant life. You can have a great career. You can have a healthy marriage, great friendships, and a vibrant ministry. I got a question to ask you this morning. Since we're all Christians in here, if you don't believe that God is going to work on your behalf, how do you think others are going to work on your behalf? Those enemies and those devils that are around you, how do you think they're going to work on your behalf if you're sitting around believing that the Almighty is not even going to work on your behalf? You see, you started. You wonder why the devil gets the best of you. You started. Because you don't have the faith and believe and understand that God is in control and he's always working on my behalf, no matter how it looks. To you and to others. He's working in my favor. You want to espouse faith and understanding to people, and they're looking at you like you don't even believe. In Jeremiah 4:3, the Lord told the men of Judah and Jerusalem, he said, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season so that you may not sow among thorns. God is saying to you this morning to break up the ground all around you that you left in turmoil for so many years because you gave up. Break that ground right now. Start tilling that soil. Although thorns are around you, the enemies around you, till your space. Cultivate your space so something can grow. We're so busy looking around and saying we can't do anything here. Just look around us. Just look around us. Everybody's smoking weed, getting high. Oh, hanging out, partying, being disobedient. I can't do anything. God is saying that ground that I've given you, that you left unattended, till that ground. Turn that soil over. Pull them weeds out and cultivate it so something can grow there. That requires faith. Something that you've left unattended for a long time, God is calling you. You can't till like this. You have to look at where you're at and say, I'm going to grow something here. Here's a weed. Let me take it out and throw it away. Let me put a little fertilizer, the word of God, around this place here so something can grow, so I can fertilize it. Even though things are around, I'm not worried about that right now. He told me to take care of this right here. Those are your family. Those are your friends. Those are those neighbors of yours. Oh, hallelujah. Break up your ground, meaning make something new, knowing that God is going to support you. So speak life over the things that you have designated as dead. Call on those things that the Holy Spirit has told you about. All you have to do is get it up there. Because listen to what God says to Ezekiel. He says, thus said the Lord God upon those bones, these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So as I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. You see, we speak life into a situation, and then it comes up. But when you start speaking the word of the Lord and you let the Lord does what he has to do, then he breathes life into it. You have the faith to pick up those dry bones and prophesy it over them. Those dead things in your life, you prophesy over them, and then God comes and he breathes life into those things. We don't have the power of life and death, but we can speak and we can prophesy over these dead things in our lives and believe that God is going to breathe life into them. We continue to lift people up. We continue to lift each other up and let God breathe life into them. That's all Ezekiel had to do. Lift those bones up, prophesy dead things, and let the Lord breathe life into them. Hallelujah. But God doesn't just stop there. Amen. Then he said unto him, prophesy unto the wind. When he prophesied into the wind, that means there was nobody around him. We believe that we have to prophesy so everybody can hear and everybody can see. He said, prophesied in the wind. You're here in dry areas, in dead bones. What does that mean to us? That means that you don't have to come to church to start talking and prophesying over your family. In the midst of going to take your shower, prophesy over those situations. When nobody's around, prophesy over those situations. You don't have to come to church to tell us what's going on in your life. Prophesy over those situations. He told Ezekiel, ain't nothing around you but dead bones, dry bones. Prophesy to the wind. And say to it, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. And he said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. He said, I did what I was told. All of a sudden, there was this great army. They stood up and they started breathing. Prophesy over those dead things. Prophesy over those dead bones. Prophesy like nobody has to hear you. Prophesy when nobody's listening. And watch God breathe into that situation. Watch those things come alive. Watch marriages. Watch jobs. Watch opportunities. Watch sickness. Watch health. Watch these things come alive. Watch when you go to the doctor and he shakes his head and God says, not my child. Watch them come alive. Prophesy unto the wind. We went into the hospital yesterday and we prophesied over people. We prophesied over people walking to the hospital. Who are you going to see? I'm telling you right now, God is able. Do you believe that? Yes. Can we pray for you? Prophesy unto the wind. People thought we were going to ask for money. We don't have. Silver and gold have I not. I walk around with no money for a reason. Bible study, I don't have no money in my pocket. They might as well not even come to me. Not because I don't have money, but I just don't walk around with money. But I'm not going to ask for money from anybody. And I don't want to lie when they come to me for money, because I ain't got none. But we told people, we're not coming to ask for money. We just want to know, do you need prayer? Peter told the man, he said, the beggar at the gate, he said, silver and gold have I not. I don't have any, but what I got is worth more than that. You see, church, what you got is worth more than money. You know, what I got to give those people that were smoking over there was more than just a frankfurter. That's what I offered them and they came. That was the carrot. Amen. But what I had to give them was more. It was worth more than the carrot. It was more than the frank. Another group of people who can never say nobody spoke to them about the word of the Lord. Because the fact of the matter is everybody knows about the Lord. Something. If you're in America, if you're in some of our countries that we came from, everybody knows about the Lord. We want you to come back. Your children, your spouses, your family members, they know about the Lord. But they are dry bones. They're dead situations in your life. Prophesy. Prophesy over them. Speak. Speak to them. Nobody's listening. You say, I stopped talking to them because they don't even want to hear me no more. How many have done that? I'm wasting my breath. So I stopped talking to them. But God said, prophesy. Don't stop. Prophesy to the wind. Because sometimes you're talking to them, they walk right out the door. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy over their lives. Prophesy that they're going to be men and women of God. prophesied the blood of Jesus and protection over their life when they leave your house and they go to work and they go to school, they go to hang out. Even when you know they go to get high, prophesy. You know some of your children, you know where they're going. You say, well, where are you going? Out. You know what they're going out to do. Prophesy over their life. We have to speak life and believe that what we speak to God will be done. And you have to keep doing it, because remember this. If you got a pen, write this down. Perseverance causes restoration. Perseverance causes restoration. You have to be persistent if you want restoration. Because restoration is rebuilding, it's restoring. It takes a while to rebuild and to restore. So you have to be persistent. If you go to clean your car, you don't just take the rinse and water and then that's it. You rinse it, and then you take the soap and you wash it. And then you rinse it again. It takes a little while. It goes through a few stages. But you got to be persistent in what you want. We remember the woman that kept going to the judge. Every day she went down and talked about she wanted her money. The man took her money. She wanted every day. They said the judge, he don't care about God. He don't care about nothing. He don't care about this woman. He don't care about people. But she kept going every day and every day. Every day getting dressed, going down to the courthouse. He said, I don't care about God. And I don't care about man. But this woman keeps coming back here. Give her what she wants. God wants your persistence. He never gets tired of hearing from you. The more persistent you are, God knows. But the more persistent you are, there's somebody else who knows too. Come on, somebody. See, your persistence is not necessarily for him, but it might be for him, so he knows that you're not letting go. Because we're weak in the faith. Amen? And he knows when we're weak in the faith. We're weak in what we're asking for. We're weak in what we're going and being persistent about. But you know, if you keep calling the name of the Lord, the enemy's going to run away, because he can't stand that. If there's one thing he can't stand that. He can't stand when you call the name of Jesus Christ. He can't stand when you plead the blood over your life and your friends, your family and your friends. He can't stand when you plead the blood over your situation. He can't stand when you're sitting down in the middle of those dry things, those dry bones, and prophesied and speaking life over them so God can do something. He can't stand when you're cultivating that little area, that little corner that God has given you to work in, and he's got all of these things around you. He can't stand that you're still doing the work, that you're not frustrated, you're not disappointed, that you haven't given up. Speak life into your situation. This word that God has given us has a purpose. The word has a mission. God is telling you and I that if we want to restore some things, some circumstances, some situations in our life, we have to believe it. Amen? Not only do we have to believe it, but we have to connect with the word to bring it unto completion and speak life over it. Don't speak negative things. When you speak negative, you give the enemy that room that he needs to just come on in. The enemy is like a rat. You give a rat, a mouse, that much room, and it'll get in there. And you'll say, where did it come from? Unless you find that little spot that he's coming in. Not only is he going to come in, but he's going to go home and tell some others, I got a good spot for us to get in there. The enemy and his devil, his minions, they're going to have a good spot to come into your life. Because you got that little opening right there that they keep coming in. And you're wailing, wailing, wailing. I don't know, Lord. Where's every? Why all? It's that little spot. You have to believe. Don't spend another day weary. Don't spend another day depressed. Don't spend another day tired. The enemy just makes you tired. And you say, well, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm tired. What you tired from? I don't know. You know, I just been worried about so many things going on. Give it to God. The enemy's just beating you down with it. Stop letting him beat you down. Prophesy over those things. Come on and let us stand this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.